I'm here with Judah Freelander.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder,
that's
who,
me.
That's the voice of, is it Sanford?
Sanford. Yeah, I play the son of Bud Buchwald, who was voiced by Hank Azaria. And it's, my character is, Bud Buchwald is the patriarch of the family. And he's like, he's a white guy. He's a U.S. Border Patrol agent. He also happens to be a guy who's bigoted, but maybe not even realizes that he's bigoted and can't understand why Ernesto Gonzalez, the patriarch of the Mexican-American family living next door to him, is making a lot more money than he is. Because he's like, I'm the white guy, I'm the real American, why is this guy making more money than me? What's going on here? And so he's kind of like an Archie Bunker type of guy. And one of his daughter is like super liberal, and my character isn't really like political. My character, I think, is one of those guys who's just, he's so dumb, he's just trying to get through life. And my character is kind of always yelling. He's very dumb and he's very confident and he's also very loud. So I've usually found out that the people who talk really loud usually don't have anything very intelligent to say.
To make a lot of noise.
Yeah, and that's definitely my... and I think my character's loud often because he's just so confused. It's like everything confuses him. Nothing really comes easily to him. But he has a good time. And he fails at pretty much everything he does. But he doesn't give up trying. He never gives up. So I'm really happy to be doing the show because it's... First of all, I love animation. Mm-hmm. And when I read the script, I was like... I was surprised because I think, you know, most of the stuff on television and movies is not very provocative.
No.
And most of it does not address any big issues that are going on. And this show does. You know, immigration being the biggest one.
Right.
You know, which is, a huge issue in this country now because there's, a lot of people running for office and who are in office who... don't care about anyone except themselves. So
that's a complete interview right there.
Yeah. So it's and then also what's cool is that, you know, a lot of the writers on the show are Mexican American, and that's cool too, because, you know, I view Hollywood as a very, it's weird because, you know, the right is always looking at Hollywood as all these lefties, but then when you actually look at it, it's still pretty much all white people. You know, it's not nearly as diverse as the country is. Mm-hmm. And, black people are better represented than they have been before, and they're much better represented than other groups that are in a minority, you know, whether it's Mexicans, whether it's Arabs or
Asians,
you know, I mean, hugely underrepresented in Hollywood. So it's it's cool that, there's some... Mexican Americans doing the voices as well as quite a few behind the scenes also, which is, and that was like a big issue. I know recently on I was watching HBO's Project Greenlight, where Matt Damon had that argument with I'm blanking on the woman's name, the producer, and was saying how the way you bring diversity is in front of the camera, not behind the camera. And I'm like, well, you need both actually.
Yes, you do.
And behind is huge, you know. So I think that's good, you know. So I'm excited to be a part of it, and, you know, just a lot of creative people and funny people. So it's great to be a part of it.
Do you think a show like this, with everything that's going on in the nation right now, mm-hmm. I feel like maybe a show like this is perfect to start off.
Yeah, I can't wait for it to get on air. It's like, yeah. I want it to be on air already, yeah. You know, because. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of hate in this country. There's a lot of fear in this country. And this is a show that addresses all those issues where there's a lot of hate and a lot of fear. And it does it in a way that I think is going to be accessible to everybody so that people, no matter where you fall politically, I think you're going to enjoy this show. You know, and, you know, that's stuff I try to do in my own stand-up act, I'm always talking about, you know, big issues, whether it's racism, classism, I think it's important, you know, to address these issues that are so heated
yeah.
with humor. Because with humor, you can hopefully get people to at least start listening to each other.
Well, I think,
and maybe seeing things from another point of view.
I think humor, people, I think many ways don't realize it, but with humor, you can be so honest
yeah.
without... I suppose, offending someone
yeah.
in so many ways.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of times people, they don't want to hear another person's point of view. But if you can get them laughing, they're going to hear your point of view.
Yeah.
You know, which is good. You have, even if you still don't agree with them, you got to be hearing their point of view.
Exactly.
And that's where things start, is just having that discussion. And so I'm excited. I hope this show... I mean, obviously, I mean, for personal reasons, I hope it's a big hit. But I also hope it's a big hit because I think it's important in the issues it addresses, and so I hope people get to see it and respond to it and like it. So fingers crossed.
Yes. No. Do you have a cap on right now?
Yeah.
The American Sign Language.
Yeah.
Do you sign?
No, this is actually, this hat, I made this hat. This is from my stand-up act, and there's jokes from my stand-up act that involve this hat and the sign language on the hat. It says world champion in sign language. So that's from my stand-up act. So there's like a whole storyline and jokes behind
because
that.
I saw a photo of you with the cap says campeón del mundo.
Yeah. All my hats when I do stand-up say world champion in some language, and this one's in sign language, American Sign Language. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
You have a book.
Yeah.
Tell me
I have a book.
About your book.
Yeah, I think you'll dig this. Yeah. This book is it's a real passion project of mine. I spent most of this last year and a half working on it. It's about 200 drawings and cartoons that I did. Most are single-panel cartoons. Mm-hmm. Most are comedy. A few of them are dramatic, you know, more of like a dramatic mm-hmm. punchline, more sort of like a political cartoon. And then I'd say about 40 to 50% of it is dark satire dealing with big issues of gentrification, classism, racism, gun control, sexism. So it's pretty hard-hitting. And most of these are jokes that I thought worked better as a cartoon drawing than as a stand-up bit. So, yeah, this just came out. If there's any bookstores left in America, they should have it.
And
if not, you can get it on, you know, Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. So,
and yeah. it's called If the Raindrops United.
Yeah, and that is one of the cartoons also in the book. And it's this big, giant raindrop that's probably about 20 city blocks in diameter. And it looks like it's about to wipe out the whole city. So the message behind this is if, like, you know, if all those little tiny raindrops got together, like a 10-minute drizzle can actually destroy a whole city.
Oh, my God.
So it's a metaphor for that if people can actually come together on something they agree on, put differences aside, but come together on something, people can actually have a lot of power. A lot of times people feel very powerless, but if people can get together, they can have a lot of power. It can be used for good or bad,
exactly.
but they can have a lot of power, and that's what this drawing is about, how it can go either way.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
It's good or bad, because
yeah.
it depends on that. Is that the foreword by Tina Fey?
Yeah, Tina Fey just leaves a quote here, you know, saying some nice things about the book, and some other actors and filmmakers and comics I've worked with before also left some nice things. So
oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I think people will. I think people will dig it. So
now we a lot of people know you from 30 Rock,
mm-hmm.
but other than doing the voice here with Bordertown, what other projects are you?
Yeah, well, the big one is, you know, I just finished the book, mm-hmm. and. Other projects, you know, I actually did an episode of, Bob's Burgers, which is another animated show on Fox. Mm-hmm. And the next big project of mine is going to be my own stand-up special. It's either going to be a 60-minute special, or I might even make it a 90-minute feature-length stand-up concert film. And I'm going to have an album that goes along with it also. So that's the next one that I'm working on.
That's what you're working on.
Yeah.
So we don't even know where that's going to be at or anything
yeah,
like that.
No, yeah, no, I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to produce it and make it myself. Mm-hmm. And then there's a variety of places where I can get it seen, you know, whether it's, you know, Comedy Central or Showtime HBO or Netflix, you know, I'll figure that out later. Yeah.
Now, I do have to come back to the mm-hmm. world champion.
Oh, sure.
Is there a meaning to that for
you? Oh, yeah. No, there definitely is. Yeah. Well, the world champion persona has changed over the years. I've been doing stand-up comedy about 27 years.
Oh, you're a young boy.
No, I'm 46. So I started when I was 19. So I've been doing it a while. But the stand-up, the world champion initially was sort of like this real-life superhero, this greatest martial artist in the world, this greatest athlete, who just, at first you might think he's bragging, but then you realize everything he's saying is actually real. So he's actually like this, he's actually humbly stating all these phenomenal things that he's done. But the past few years, I've been doing, I started doing a lot of stand-up outside the country, going to Europe and doing stand-up, and kind of like when you're in a bad relationship, like you can't see it, but all your friends can see it. So when I initially started doing shows in Europe, I thought I was going to be learning more about those countries. I actually started learning more about my own country. When you get to be outside your country and look at it from a distance, I was able to sort of see the social and political structures a little more clearly. And so I started doing a lot more stand-up bits about big issues, racism, gentrification, narcissism, capitalism. And so the world champion persona started morphing into becoming not just this world champion athlete and karate master, but also a person who's a champion of the world and for the rights of the people of the world. So I've been doing a lot of these, a lot of big issues is what I've been sort of discussing. And I like doing it, like when I start talking about, I have some bits about reparations and some bits about racism and terminology. Is it preferred black? Is it African American? All these different things. And you should see how uncomfortable the audiences get at first.
Yeah.
And the white people even more than the black people. I mean, they are like terrified. They're confused. They don't even know what to do. And that shows you it's like how far away we actually are as a country from racial unity when at a comedy club you start talking about it and everyone just freezes. That shows you the fact that people aren't even comfortable discussing it. How are you going to fix anything? But I like going to that. I've always liked finding comedy that's doing comedy that's like twisted and dark. And it used to be more like sort of either just like escapism, stuff that's not really that based in reality, just really twisted, bizarre stuff. And I still do that, but now I'm going to like really serious, I like going to serious places and finding comedy out of them, So that's what I've been doing a lot in my stand-up act.
It's just like you really want to make the audience really think.
Book is, like a lot of the drawings might look simple, but you have to really think to get these drawings. And there's also a mini comic book in it called Gentrification Man, and he's the first superhero to stand up for the rights of corporations and the super wealthy. So he's really an evil guy, but in the book he's presented as a hero. So I think if you're certainly into like activism or human rights or politics, I think this is a book people will dig. Yeah.
Can I just ask you for one little taste of Sanford's voice?
I can't do it now. I'll tell you why. He talks pretty much like me. He talks pretty much like me. He's always like really excited. And he's always yelling. I'm sort of fake yelling right now, but he's always yelling because he thinks every idea he has is brilliant, but they're really stupid.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Great talking to you.
Great talking to you.
Thanks so much. Let me give you a stick.